Welcome to Psyched for Psychology, a Nystrom & Associates podcast. Our hosts, Michelle Iverson and Brett Cushing, are both licensed marriage and family therapists at Nystrom & Associates. Each week, they talk about all things mental health and therapy, and you get a chance to dive into specific psychology topics that help promote personal development and wellness. And now, here are your hosts, Michelle and Brett.
Hello and welcome again to Psyched for Psychology. My name is Brett Cushing. I am a licensed marriage and family therapist.
And I'm Michelle Iverson, also a licensed marriage and family therapist at Nystrom & Associates. This podcast is provided by Nystrom, which is a premier mental health center with over 30 locations across Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Iowa. Nystrom offers mental health services that include therapy, medication management, community-based services, substance use treatment, and more. You can learn more about us and our services by visiting our website at nystromcounseling.com.
We also want you to know that our audio podcast can now be found on all major podcast platforms, and episodes will be released weekly on Tuesday mornings. We also have an email, podcast at nystromcounseling.com. That's podcast at nystromcounseling.com. We want to hear from all of you regarding your feedback, comments, and we'd love to hear ideas for upcoming episode topics that you would like and be psyched about us talking about. So please email us at podcast at nystromcounseling.com. Before we start a topic today regarding laughter, we're asking that question, is laughter really the best medicine? We want to first, though, introduce to you Daniel Miller. He is a licensed marriage and family therapist here with Nystrom & Associates. He is a clinical site director at Big Lake here in Minnesota. Dan wrote his master's thesis on laughter, and he's been practicing in this field since the mid-90s. Dan is a good friend. He's also somebody who has supervised me in the past, and I'm thrilled to have him here because whenever I've done supervision, it has not only helped me clinically, but I recall having many opportunities in sessions where we are laughing, and it's such an integral part of session. And Dan, I think it's also been a part of your practice as well. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We are delighted to have you here and delighted to talk about this ever popular, kind of timeless topic. I mean, laughter has really been a part of human history forever, and it's so integral and timeless. And we're glad to talk about it because we can all relate to it. And I'm curious, for all of us, when do we find ourselves laughing? What sort of times stand out to you, Michelle, or you, Dan?
You know, when I think about laughter, I think about my kids and my two-year-old who will find all sorts of things funny. And what's been really funny to her lately is we've been loving to play a little game called Where's My Belly Button? And it's hilarious to her. She loves it. And she will want to play it, even if we're way past bedtime. She will want to play the game. And the probably one of the funniest things about it is we have a dog. His name is Cooper. She can't quite pronounce Cooper still, so she calls him Pooker. And if we're saying, like, where's your belly button, she goes, Pooker? Pooker ate it. And that's been her favorite long-running joke and gives her a lot of laughter, but gives me a lot of laughter too.
Oh, that's great. That makes me smile just thinking about it. How about you, Dan? Tell us what makes you laugh.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. What comes to mind is that it's laughter is much more organic, and it's either a part of your life or it isn't, right? And that when you find things funny and you look for things funny in life, you'll find them. But it can't be. What first came to mind is, like, a lot of people know that I love laughter and that laughter is a part of my life, and they want to be around that, and it's contagious. And I remember this one time I was up at Becker High School, and they wanted me to do to talk to their parents, and a friend had brought me in, and I met with the people to talk to there, and they looked at me in the meeting, and they said, "Oh, Dan, we heard you're funny, so we want you to be funny." And then they were like, "So, how are you going to be funny? Let's see it." It was like nothing happened. It was so awful. And so then I tried to force myself to be funny. And when I did that at the parent meeting, I said this joke that I thought would, and it was nothing. It was a cricket in the room. And it was the most uncomfortable moment. And I left away and they were like, I could almost hear them say, you know, oh, and they said he was funny. And so, I think a lot of times people think we have to be stand-up comedians and we have to be, you know, intentional and have jokes and have, but that's not what we're talking about today. Laughter is about being able to find life humorous and seeing the funny in life and being able to laugh at your mistakes and being able to remember the funny stories like you just talked about, Michelle, that those are so, is there anything more contagious than a child's laugh? That, I mean, that's why you see them on Facebook, right? The people playing their kids' laughter because it's so fun to hear. And it's just, we find life, if you can find life funny and enjoy the weirdness of humans and enjoy the mistakes that happen and the odd coincidences and share them and people enjoy, wow, isn't that funny? It's more about a state of mind than it is being funny in that way.
That's a really good point. I remember, I think it was Michigan State. I was looking into this topic a few years ago, and it's not just like you said, it's not trying to be funny. What makes us laugh and what makes things funny is the unexpected. It's the spontaneous things. And that's what comedians do, is they're just a lot of times doing that observational humor and being able to laugh. And
that's right.
It is.
Laughing at what all the unexpected things and the weird things in life that we all know about. Like if we go to emergency room, we all have the same experience, and so they'll make fun of that experience because we've all been through it. You know, that sort of thing.
That's an excellent point, and it is good. It's extremely important. We'll be talking about this today in our podcast about how it's helpful for us to laugh. And Dan, is it fair to ask, is some of it a choice?
Yeah, and like I think I mentioned, a state of mind. It is a choice. It's choosing to find things funny that we would have a hard time with, like mistakes. Let's say I'm a perfectionist. Now, if I can laugh at I've made a mistake, that says that I've been able to accept that I'm imperfect, and by accepting that, I can laugh at the mistakes I make because I know myself and I know that it'll be okay that I made this. And let's just move on. Let me give you an example of that it's a choice. My wife and I have three boys, and we heard a very cheesy country song as we were raising our kids. And it's called, I think, You're Gonna Miss This. And so when life was really awful, meaning that, like, I'll give you a moment where my boys were having diarrhea and vomiting, and Marcy and I was in the middle of cleaning that up, I would look up at her and I go, "You're gonna miss this." Or Marcy would do it back to me at those moments where it was like, could it get worse?
Right.
Could this be any worse? Yeah.
Well, that's a great point.
And that's a choice in that moment. To be able to laugh at the absurdity of how hard this is, or laugh at that.
Sobering. Good for us to remember. Yeah, we have some control over this.
What do you think makes laughter just so important to us, just as human beings, Dan?
Well, innately, I think there's just some things that, man, when you say that question, it's just so much in it, because I think it's what draws us together. Yeah. I think it's what heals us. I think it's what allows us to move past. There's just so much in laughter and humor. I know that just this week, we hired a new staff here at Big Lake, And I was caught by her statement of, well, I was working at another place and they didn't have any laughter. And I just wanted to a place. And she asked, will we have laughter here? And I was like, well, that's the one thing I can be very honest about that you will hear here at Big Lake, because we love to laugh. And I know that that is what people are drawn to, is to be able to enjoy each other in community and laugh together. People just want to have that. And don't you think it brings healing? Doesn't it feel healing?
Well, it made me think about like our podcast that we did on vulnerability, right? That idea of like choosing that mindset that allows us to laugh and be vulnerable with others. That's healing for a
It
lot of
is.
people.
It is. Yeah, you're right. I remember a time when I was up. I was doing a public speaking. Well, I was a pastor, and so I was in front of the church, and I was speaking, and did not realize that my fly was open as I was up in front of the entire congregation. I kind of
That's
felt,
so
this
great.
urge to sort of say, "Hey, why don't we all bow, close our eyes, and pray?" So I
And let
hit.
me
I'm.
zip up my pants.
Yeah,
That's
it
great.
was, and it's just hilarious. You have to. It is a state of mind. You can choose to laugh about it or be totally mortified by the situation.
That's great. Another part, to add to this, we've all been a part of. When someone has shared a story and we're all laughing, how many times have all of us heard a statement after, oh, I just really needed that? And that part is that we've all heard that statement, and that tells us that we all know that that's something that we need to be a part of our life and that we're missing so often. Oh man, I needed that. And it brought healing. So, yeah.
That is such a good point. I know some of the research I came across indicates why we say that too. We say, I just like you said, Dan, I really needed that. Laughter actually, it reduces our stress hormones that we have. It brings them down. It improves actually our oxygen flow, and it relaxes muscles and strengthens our immune system. Think of that. Maybe we, in the wake of COVID, we need to be laughing more, right?
We should bring prescribing more laughter,
No, I think you're
right?
right. It actually have I've read that it has possibly more physiological and psychological benefits than almost any other activity we can engage in, except for maybe eating and sleep, which really underscores your point, Dan. We need to be intentional about this.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, and that intentionality, when we talk about how do we incorporate laughter, so much of it needs to be organic, which means that we allow ourselves to find laughter, which is, we can go to movies that are funny and start to incorporate. I actually went to a training, man, this was early on, during my master's, and it really got me thinking about being intentional about laughter and adding humor to our lives. And they would do things as a family. This person was training and saying in their family, they wanted to make sure that we found things funny. And so then they would let everybody in the family be able to choose a room and to decorate any way they want, and then to make it absurd and to do funny things. And they showed some pictures of it. And my favorite one was the bathroom with when you close the door, there was a picture of a guy that was kind of staring in at you as you were in the bathroom. And I was like, oh, that's great.
That's great.
But that was intentional. They just tried to be funny. Now, some people are going to go, I'm just not that funny, or I'm just not. But it's also that choice to go, but I'm going to start to let funny be in my life. Let's share stories from our past or share things. I started my classes off when I taught at St. Mary's by having everyone in the room, and I'd use this with families as well, share their most embarrassing moment. And everybody says at first, oh, I don't know if I can remember. Or the other most common one is, there's too many. But once everybody shared that, we all had this common connection, and I've never had someone not be able to share something. And you can do that. You can just choose to share with your families and share with each other. And now that goes back, Michelle, what you're talking about, vulnerability. When we start to share those things that are humorous, like an embarrassing moment, now I've been vulnerable. And now we're increasing trust and intimacy in relationships because we're being vulnerable with people too.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, this is so important. And because it's natural to the human condition to laugh. And it is something we need to be intentional about, that we actually have choice over. Dan, how is this incorporated, or why does this need to be incorporated within therapy and for therapists?
Well, because we delve into the realm of so much hurt and pain. And what you just identified is laughter is researched to be one of the best medicines, right? Mm-hmm. And so helping people to be able to find laughter. And I can tell you that in session, when I use humor, that people will regularly thank me later or say, I appreciate that we can laugh in session. Or there's just a part of them that just wants to be a part of that because it's not a part of their lives. And now for us as therapists, we need to continue to have that for ourselves to be able to have longevity and to stay away from burnout, that it is something that brings us healing and allows us to have relief. And we need to be able to bring that to the darkest places in our world.
Well, I'm really, I'm increasingly motivated to incorporate more laughter into my own life and more laughter into therapy, because like you're saying, perhaps laughter is the best medicine. And I think it does give a bit of release too. When we laugh, there is that release. And like you said, people will say afterward, boy, I really needed that. And I think it raises a good question then for us is how do we be intentional about pursuing laughter? If it is so important, you know, for instance, if I need some medication, I'm going to go to the pharmacy. I'm going to be very intentional. I'm going to make sure it gets there. I'm going to go pick it up. I'm going to take that because that's my medicine. Can we be intentional about pursuing laughter if it is perhaps the best medicine? Do either of you have any thoughts on that?
I want to start with something I learned at that training also, because what they shared was research that showed that if you don't have laughter a part of your life, that it actually, your larynx can atrophy to the point where you're not able to laugh. And I know I brought this up with you guys before just a little bit. And what I forgot to say is that when I heard that for myself, I went, oh my word. I was fearful that it made it so that I was like, I don't want to ever lose this, which says how important I knew humor and laughter was in my life, that it actually emboldened me to go, I got to make sure that I always have this a part of my life, because I would hate to ever lose something like this. And I know that people can be in such terrible places that they haven't laughed for a long time, and being able to get back to that. How do we get back to that? And intentionally starting again to get back to relationship and get back to being able to share stories and open ourselves up to that and open ourselves up to things. Now we can, again, the intentionality is to be able to go to funny movies and go to things, but it's more about being around people and hearing about stories and enjoying life together and being able to laugh at life. Mm-hmm. That's still a choice.
That's a really good point. Yeah, we can choose being around people who are funny and make us laugh. In fact, my kids often tell me what they notice within me that brings them some of the greatest joy is watching me laugh. And the hardest I laugh is when I'm playing cards with my brother Doug, my brother Tim, and they never see me laugh like that. And it's interesting watching me laugh, having that experience for my kids. It affects them in such a positive way. And it reminds me that There is one study that found that social laughter, it not only releases endorphins in the brain, but it promotes social bonds. I think not just laughing, but watching and being around people like you're saying, Dan, who are laughing, that's really helpful for us.
That's great. Yeah, good stuff.
What if as therapists we had like a prescription pad on our desk and we'd have to like write out, here's what you're going to do to be able to laugh this week. I feel like I do that in a version of it with a lot of the families mm-hmm. I work with. And sometimes they're, in terms of communication, their interactions at home, mm-hmm. everything's so focused on what happened today, how was school. We don't get the opportunity to just sit and laugh and have a good time. I'll prescribe them. We need to start having family game nights. I've got a number of games in my office. I'll show them some of like the best ones I have. One of my favorites is Super Fight. You can get it at Target. And you pull cards and you build your team. And this is your team, very family friendly, but your team with really unique characters with what their powers are. And each side of the family can pull a team and you get the most random combinations. And everybody has to argue over who would win
in this great
superpowered fight. But we're talking about like kindergartners with jetpacks versus what I will tell you. We did this in a staff meeting once, and the team that we pulled was full of fainting goats.
Yeah.
Oh.
We did not win, but we had probably about a good 20 minutes laughing so hard over this debate, over these fainting goats and how they would possibly win in any kind of like superpowered fight. They wouldn't. I think nobody voted for our team, even our own team. We were like, fainting goats would not win, but we laughed for about 20 minutes over it.
Wow. And that's great. I mean, you make the point that when we're laughing, we are winning.
Yeah.
Yeah. We are getting further and further into a period of health. In fact, that reminds me of another study. Neuroscientists, they've discovered that a focal pathway in the brain that actually it would cause, when it was stimulated, it would cause laughter. And what was interesting, it was followed by a sense of calm and happiness afterward.
Mm-hmm. And I can believe that.
Yeah. Yeah. It also, there was another study that found humor improved the short-term memory of older adults and just that the immune system, how it really mm-hmm. does help our immune system. So this is so crucial. And I really like what you said. We need to have little prescription pads. And as you were talking, I kind of had the flashback to Heath Ledger playing the Joker in the Batman, you know, where he asks you, why so serious, you know, and therapy, you know, it's kind of like, that's the question I think sometimes for us as therapists is, why are we so serious all the time? We're dealing with serious issues, but that doesn't mean humor is necessarily having to be divorced. It really needs to be incorporated.
And we can be intentional about how we bring that into our sessions.
Absolutely.
As well too.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that really highlights one of the best ways for us as adults and as therapists, as a part of the being fathers and mothers, is by example. Is like showing that we can have laughter in our lives. And actually a story comes to my mind. I was at a church. It was the end of the service and people were leaving. And these two kids were running through the sanctuary and they were laughing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they came right by us and I had a smile. I was like, oh, isn't that cool to see? And an older man, an usher, said, hey, you stop. And they both stopped. And he goes, we don't do that here. Hmm. And then they became, you know, they got frowns on their faces and then they walked out. And I was like, I was thinking, we don't do what here? We don't have fun. We don't have laughter. We don't enjoy life. And I was like, wow, isn't that what an example? Destroying laughter, destroying fun, destroying mm-hmm. connection. That if that's our example, then people, that's going to shove people away.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be someone that diminishes joy. Why wouldn't we go, hey, isn't it wonderful that kids are laughing? Mm-hmm. Isn't it? And in my sessions, how important it is for them to know it's okay to laugh and we can enjoy life. And it's okay for you to do that again. And that's the example we give as therapists to others, especially in session, that it's okay to have laughter. In fact, it's really important that you get back to laughter. And that's going to be the healing journey. You know?
Oh, boy. That is so good, Dan. And I was thinking, too, how we sort of compartmentalize too much, that this is serious time. And granted, there are some times that are very serious. And I remember as a pastor doing funerals often, and everyone was trying to be serious. You know, it was a serious event. Right. And then somebody would tell a story, and that made everybody laugh. And there was such a release. And then there was more laughter. And it was sometimes met with
so
a sense
healing.
Of, yeah, yep. Like, are we, is it okay? I'm supposed to be crying right now. I'm supposed to be sad, right? Mm-hmm. And then when people did laugh, they realized it helped them have a greater connection, helped them to have greater closure and healing in a very, very difficult time. So I'm really seeing for myself the need to be more intentional, not only in my life, but even in my practice as a therapist. And you both have really encouraged me. Let's be intentional about this. I might even have a little, I might go buy a prescription pen and start to
That's
do
great.
That.
That's a great idea.
So Dan, any other thoughts here for us on laughter?
You know, as we talk, isn't it amazing how, and I've incorporated into my practice, and it's a part of who I am. I believe humor is a part of what we need in life. But it just, when we talk about it, it just makes you be that much more intentional where you go, oh yeah, I'm going to make sure that it's intentional with my clients and that. I like even talking about the prescription pad, that's great. But just going, I just need to remind myself that I want to bring this to my clients. I want people to find laughter in life and have that heal whatever hurts that you're having.
Mm-hmm. You know what I think another takeaway here is that laughter keeps it real. And it sort of gives a sense of kind of that exhale, you know, where we do have that sense of calm afterward. There is that release. And as we've talked today, I really hope our listeners are going to be reminding themselves that laughter, it's natural, and we need to be intentional. It is a mindset, and we can choose to pursue laughter, and it can provide a lot of healing, and it's so helpful. Perhaps laughter actually is the best medicine. Well, we are so glad everybody was able to come and will be pursuing more intentional laughter in their own lives. We again thank you so much for joining us today. And please make sure to like, share, and subscribe to our Psyched for Psychology podcast. We will have new episodes being released every Tuesday morning. And you can find us on any major podcast streaming platform. And you can follow us for our new episodes.
Please email us your comments to podcast@nystromcounseling.com and let us know any ideas for future topics that you would be psyched to hear us talk about. Again, you can also learn about Nystrom & Associates and all of our available mental health services by going to nystromcounseling.com. Thank you for joining. We're psyched to talk to you again soon.
Thank you as always for listening, and please be sure to leave us a review. While this podcast can't be a replacement for therapy, we hope you enjoyed our discussion today and join us again next time. Nystrom & Associates is always available to those who are struggling. If you find yourself in need of support and help, please check us out at nystromcounseling.com.